Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, hello. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. That's James. I'm Kyle. No Joe Brazil today. He's on assignment. Joe's in Disneyland.
That's ridiculous.
Must be nice.
Where's our trip to Disneyland, Kyle?
Must be nice to be down in Disneyland hanging out with your friends from work. Joe, I hope he's having a great time down in Disneyland. Alt is down there. I think KUDL is down there. That's 106.5 The End. Good for them.
I just wonder.
We'll be in here. We'll hold down the fort.
When are we getting our trip to Disneyland, Kyle?
I'm going to guess never.
I want to go to Disneyland with you. I think we would have a good time.
We'd have a blast. We'd have a really good time. That's James. I'm Kyle. We did all that. If you're listening on the radio, 1320 AM and 98.5 FM HD2. Hi. Thank you for listening on the radio. If you're listening on one of the apps, Odyssey, iHeart, TuneIn, what up? Hello? We appreciate you for listening there. And if you're watching on YouTube and Twitch, good morning. Hello. I have to adjust my screen because it is too close to me and I don't like it. There we go. All right. Hey, first things first, before we get, because it's July 28th, there's nothing breaking. We got some things we want to get to for sure from the weekend, but we need to start here. Look at Luka.
What?
Look at Luka Doncic.
What is happening?
If you've missed it, and if you're listening on the radio, Luka Doncic, who was traded by the Dallas Mavericks out of nowhere for a bag of peanuts and Anthony Davis for being out of shape, is on the cover of Men's Health magazine looking yoked. He looks trim. He looks buff. Look at the shoulder muscle. A little tricep.
I just feel like they photoshopped this.
I don't think so, man.
Okay.
There's video.
There's video.
There's video of Luka not looking like, oh, he's lost some weight. He looks svelte. He looks like a different person.
He does look svelte.
If I was walking, there's two things we have to remove from this. One, we have to remove the big giant Luka Doncic that it says on the magazine. Let's pretend that's not there. If I'm walking past this at the grocery store, if I'm standing in line at the grocery store and I see this, I don't notice that that's Luka Doncic. It genuinely, it looks like him once you really look and you go, oh yeah, of course it is.
Yeah.
But on first glance, it is not abundantly clear that that's Luka.
No. I mean, first of all, he looks like he's in great shape. I shouldn't mess with him. You know, like, look, he's putting in the work and that's a good thing because the league has been waiting for this. And, you know, like, look, Luka just hit 26. He's a generational talent, but he's a generational talent that has always held himself back by just not doing the work outside of basketball. And you like we can say a lot about LeBron James, right? Like whether you love him or you hate him. The thing is, LeBron James has always, he spent so much time, energy, and money to maintain his body, which is why he's going into his 23rd NBA season.
23rd.
That is so crazy. His NBA career can walk into a bar and order a drink.
And it's not, the thing that's, I don't want this to turn into a LeBron is amazing discussion because everybody knows that, but he's going into year 23. And it's not he's going into year 23 and he's playing six games a year.
No.
And
or 42 games.
He hasn't played more than 20 minutes in a game since 2021. Like, no, he's playing 35 minutes a night and playing 70 games in year 22.
He's a beast.
And averaging 24-8-8.
I mean, like, look, we're never going to see another LeBron, no. I don't think. And just the longevity, but also, like, the commitment to maintaining his body. And because he came into the league as, like, a 6'8", 255-pound, 18, 19-year-old. His body should have never held up because no one's body that's built like that holds up. And his ability to just continuously go out there and play is crazy. So I don't know. I'm excited to see what Luka looks like on the court. If this translates to him being a better defender or him being just a better all around player, because the talent has always been there. I mean, he's such a hooper.
I think the thing for me when it comes to the whole Luka being in shape thing, I don't think there's going to be any discernible difference in the way he plays necessarily, but I do think there could be a difference in how healthy he is and his ability to play at a higher level for longer stretches.
Yeah.
That's where I think, I don't think it's all of a sudden like Luka got in shape and now he's averaging 40 at night. I don't think it's going to be.
Or Luka's like dunking on everybody now. No, I agree with you. I agree with you there. But what I do think is that, you know, he's slowly over his career started to miss games.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, last year he played 50 games, the year before 70, 66, 65, 66, yep. 61.
Yep.
That trend, that's not good enough. I mean, realistically, there's a, you know, multiple times in his career where now he wouldn't, like, he wouldn't make it to the threshold, the 65 game threshold.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a player who has held himself back physically by just, by partying, by having a good time and living the dream.
Sure.
But there comes a point where, man, do you want to win championships? Do you want to be the best player in the game?
That's it.
Or do you want to do this other stuff all the time? And so I'm hoping that his focus is shifting a little bit. He doesn't have to stop all that stuff. He does need to cut back.
I'm interested to see if this is a one-off. If this is, because I think there's a couple of different routes this can go. One, this is him going, hey, double birds to the Mavs.
Yep.
Look what I can do. And then we're going to get into the season and we're going to see his, the work he has to do to maintain his body. We'll see that slip. Or he started working out with LeBron and went, oh, you're going into year 23 and you were this good still?
Yeah.
You've made how much money? All right. Like, okay, you got it. And if that's the case, that could be scary.
Yeah, because he should be one of the faces of the NBA.
Yeah.
And now you're in L.A. and they plan on, you know, again, this is probably LeBron's last year. And if not, it's probably his last year in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you should be the one taking over as one of the premier faces of the league.
Yes.
And, you know, that doesn't always play well when you're not in good shape. When you're not doing, I mean, you're a professional athlete.
Yeah. And if your reputation is, everybody knows Luka's awesome.
Yep.
But if your reputation is, hey, he gets banged up, hey, he doesn't take it serious, hey, he gets to the finals and he's just a sieve defensively, like, yeah, he's good, but, like, there shouldn't be any but with
there
a player
not
of Luka Doncic's caliber.
No, I agree. There should not be, like, an asterisk next to his name at all.
Yeah. Anyways, I had not seen that until this morning. It might have dropped this morning, actually. Did it drop this morning?
I think
it dropped this morning. And so I wanted to talk about Luka being on the cover of Men's Health, which is just...
In itself, that statement is wild.
I think Nico Harrison is so far up his own rear end that he probably doesn't register this. But if you're any kind of self-aware person, if you're Nico Harrison, you're punching air right now.
Yeah.
That's so embarrassing. This it just keeps getting worse.
As a franchise, why didn't you, like, I know it's tough to force players to do stuff. Mm-hmm. And I know it gets old after a certain amount of time. And Luka's was there for a long time.
Totally.
We're talking like 7-8 years, right? Mm-hmm. So at a certain point, maybe he just tuned out the training staff.
Maybe.
But at some point, you needed to have like a personal chef. You needed to have mm-hmm. all of these things in place because some players need that mm-hmm. and others don't.
Yeah.
So like there are some players that are just so self-motivated. And we've talked about this before. There are players who are gym rats mm-hmm. and then there are players who are workout warriors. Mm-hmm. And then finding a player that's both is very difficult.
Right.
That like has both of those genes right. put together.
They're going to go into the gym, they're going to work on their body, and then they're going to go out and they're going to go onto the court and work on their game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So a lot of guys, like during the offseason, they just like to play basketball. You know, I remember when Chuck Hayes was here in Sacramento, he said his workout program during the summer, I played a lot of tennis. It was like, okay, bro, that's probably, like, he really hadn't even picked up a basketball. It's like, wait a sec. It's okay to have outside things, but it's a whole other thing to, like.
You want to work on your game a little.
And get in great shape. I mean, you can get in good shape playing tennis, and I'm sure it's great for the hips and. You know,
The knees, the joints, sure.
Yeah, yeah. But outside of that, like, man, you gotta keep in great shape.
Work on your game a little.
Yeah. I've also said this, like, Jason Thompson, like, from the time he came into the league, his feet literally faced the wrong way when he took a jump shot. And then I watched every year him redefine his body to a point where he was in such great physical shape. And didn't even look like the same player that came into the league as like a 22, 23-year-old out of Rider. So, yeah, just really, really impressive how some players just work their tail off. And then sometimes it doesn't translate at all. So that's what you're hoping that Luka translates.
Holy crap. Speaking of health, Deion Sanders had that press conference with his medical team today.
Mm.
And according to Troy Rank, who's a columnist for the Denver Post, has been covering Denver sports forever, Deion Sanders was diagnosed with bladder cancer, an aggressive form of bladder cancer. His bladder was removed, and he received a new bladder that has taken well to his body. He has had 14 surgeries since arriving in Boulder.
What?
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Holy smokes, dude.
I did not know that they could replace your bladder.
I had no idea that was a medical procedure you could do.
Wow.
Holy smokes, man. How do you go through that and not tell anyone? How does that not come out? If that was me, the first time I said anything, like anybody came at me sideways, I'd be like, well, I'm dealing with this.
Yeah.
Like that. That's crazy. Think what you want about Deion Sanders. Like him, hate him, love him, whatever. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That he's just continued being prime, continued coaching.
Yeah.
While he was dealing with bladder cancer and a bladder replacement.
Wow.
Which is, man. Salute to Deion Sanders.
We did not show prep for that. That's something
we did
that,
not.
Yeah,
this
that just
is
popped
brand
up.
New. His press conference is going on right now. One of the members of his medical team said, quote, I am pleased to report that the results from the surgery are that he is cured from the cancer.
That's crazy.
Deion Sanders now cancer-free. Wow. I thought when I saw he was having a thing with his medical team, it's like, oh, that's kind of weird, but I didn't. He was going to announce that he had cancer.
I think during as part of that, I saw that he, you know, he had said he had to go like get a will and all that stuff. Like he had he wasn't sure if he was going to make it
mm-hmm.
type stuff. And now when you hear all the details, it's like, oh my god, my gosh, yeah, that's crazy. Respect,
yeah,
new respect for Deion.
Yeah,
yep,
absolutely. Real quick. Before we step aside, the Steelers in other news with less gravity than that, the Steelers released Cordarrelle Patterson today. I have two things about Cordarrelle Patterson. One, that's a player the 49ers should sign that they won't.
Yeah.
Like, that's not, oh, it's a name. Cordarrelle Patterson is legitimately a former wide receiver turned running back who, I'm not saying play him every game or play him a ton of snaps, but if you lose Christian McCaffrey, you can at least put Cordarrelle Patterson on the field in some of the same places that Christian McCaffrey goes on the field and not lose a lot.
Or even the Debo stuff.
Yeah, you can sprinkle that in.
Yeah.
But again, they won't because he's a little bit limited in some of the other things he can do.
And he's 34.
And he's 34 years old. He's, in, I mean, practically, man.
By NFL standards.
Get that AARP card ready.
Yeah.
Here's a funny thing about Cordarrelle Patterson. And not, it's a little funny. It's not super funny, but all right. So Cordarrelle Patterson is a player I really, really liked when he was coming out of college.
Okay.
And he's had a phenomenal career. He's one of the best kick returners of all time. He was a wide receiver who did not really thrive at playing wide receiver, but he's a great kick returner, good with the ball in his hands, all that jazz. I tweeted one day, I forget why I even tweeted this, didn't tag him, nothing, because I hate tagging athletes when you're going to talk smack. And I said, Cordarrelle Patterson is a really good player as long as you don't ask him to do any wide receiver stuff. I think I said he's a really good wide receiver as long as you don't ask him to do any wide receiver stuff.
Yep.
And he blocked me on Twitter because of this. And now Cordarrelle Patterson is literally a running back.
Wow.
Like, brother, I was right. Dog, you were such a non-wide receiver that they went, you're super talented. We're just going to let you not do receiver things. You're going to be a running back now.
Oh, that's wild.
Like, come on. I feel like I should be unblocked. I don't care. There's people who will block me. I deserve it. Like, especially when I was in my late teens, early 20s, I was just a jerk on the internet. So there are people who will block me that I'm like, bet. Like, salute. I earned that. I feel bad about it. I would take it back. I understand why you won't. Forgive me for that thing. Gotcha. Like, we're good.
I did.
This one, I'm not. I don't accept the block.
Okay, I will admit that one time I was at the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk for a soccer tournament, and Smash Mouth was playing at the boardwalk.
Hilarious.
And I said, oh, I'm bummed out. Eddie Money's not at the boardwalk. Smash Mouth is playing tonight. Smash Mouth responded, sorry, Dudo.
The Smash Mouth Twitter account?
Yeah.
Hardcore Niner fans, they love Trent Baalke. Whoever the Smash Mouth, in my headcanon, it's the lead singer of Smash Mouth is running the Smash Mouth Twitter account.
I think it was the former lead singer of Smash Mouth, who I don't believe is with us any longer, but it is possible. Yeah.
But yeah, man, Smash Mouth used to go at people on Twitter over Trent Baalke. And apparently Eddie Money. Did you tag him?
No.
Oh, see. Oh, did they block you?
No, think so. I think they just thought it was funny. Yeah. Oh, okay, good. RIP, absolutely. September 4, 2023.
RIP to the lead singer, Harwell. Steve Harwell, lead singer of Smash Mouth. He cranked out some hits for sure.
Yep.
All right. There's a Kings rumor that won't stop. It's lingering. Remember the Jonathan Kuminga thing early in the offseason when the Kings just kind of kept hanging around in that Jonathan Kuminga thing, and then we find out they made an offer for him? This other thing keeps hanging around the same way. We'll talk about that. The Kings got a bad offseason grade. We'll talk about that. Pads come on at training camp for the 49ers and Raiders today. We'll talk about what that means. And the West Sacramento A's might have had the greatest single game performance in sports history happen over the weekend. We'll discuss all that as well. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. No Joe Brazil today. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Hanging out with you till noon. It's ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
I told you I...
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen.
That turned down. And voice guy, please.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James is there. I'm Kyle. Joe Brazil on assignment today. We were talking about not being good at something the first time you try it. And I was saying, because I'm doing this K-pop show over at our sister station, 106.5 The End, Saturdays at 9 a.m. Check it out. The Saturday Comeback with KM. That's me. We're talking about how it's frustrating for me because I'm the kind of person that wants to be, when I'm not good at something right away, I have a hard time putting myself in the brain space of, hey, this is your second time doing a music show. You're not going to be awesome at it right away. That's not how this works. Like, you're not special. You don't get to just be good at it. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody goes through these steps. I just get frustrated as the process is going, God, I wish I had done this better. And there's all these things, like I'm air checking myself as the show's going. And you were saying something about that.
Well, yeah, like when I was up for the NBC job the first time around, I didn't get it. And it was because they told me very specifically, like writing, like this is a writing job, but you got to do some TV and you don't have enough TV experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I went into the stands at Arco Arena every single game. Kamani, shout out Kamani, would sit there and record me doing a post game show. In the stands, like
that's cool.
8 to 10 minutes, me staring into a camera, mm-hmm. and just like getting used to being in the camera.
Yeah.
And then when I went to go get the job the second time, it was like, oh yeah, we'd love to have you because realistically, this is a writing job, and it didn't work out last time.
Right.
So they brought me in, and then they're like, okay, you don't look like you've never been on TV before. I'm like, well, because I worked on it,
right?
Like that's you just yeah. you'll get better.
Yeah. No, I'm not like concerned about it. I'm not thinking they're going to pull the plug on my show.
No.
It's just as I'm going along, when I'm preparing to do this, I never get to a point, like, is every show perfect? No. There's some shows that I walk out, I'm like, I wish I'd done that better, wouldn't have done this better. You go back and listen. And
wish we would
like,
have gone on air.
Yeah, wish we'd turned the board on. You know, there's
wish Charlie didn't have to come over.
Wish the station was on.
Like, beat on the glass.
Yeah, so... No, but it's not, I'm never like, God, this is frustrating.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
no,
just,
I'm with
it's,
you.
It's, like I said, it's not the end of the world. It's not, it's an easy job. Like, it's not, I'm not out here laying tile.
It's a passion product.
That's
project.
Ostensibly what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not, I'm enjoying the heck out of it.
Okay.
I just want to be good at it.
Yeah. I like laying tile in.
Like, see, I wouldn't because I'd get really, really frustrated right away. That's James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen. No Joe Brazil today. We've been talking about Luka Doncic being on the cover of Men's Health Mag and Cordarrelle Patterson being released by the Steelers. A player the 49ers should sign, but they probably won't. Instead, they signed the Eli Apple, a cornerback. They made that official today. They released wide receiver Quintez Cephas, who they signed last week, to make room for Eli Apple, a former top 10 pick. He gives them some cornerback depth because Renardo Green's dealing with a hamstring injury. He's expected to be out a couple of weeks. Anyways, we'll talk more 49ers injury stuff. We'll talk more Raiders stuff in a bit with training camp and pads coming on at training camp. It's a big step in the offseason. But Speaking of big steps in the offseason, the Russell Westbrook Kings stuff won't go away.
It won't go away.
It is just there. Despite the fact that Kings don't have money to realistically sign him, despite the fact that they got Dennis Schroeder, that the Russell Westbrook stuff is still, he's a lingerer.
Yeah.
Just lingering.
Okay, so like just the nuts and bolts of it, like the Kings realistically, they don't have much money. If they sign him to a league minimum deal, they might be able to finagle the salary cap a little bit and fit him in, right? Because you're only going to pay like the $2.2 million, not the $3.8 million that he's actually going to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to bust into like the biannual exception, then you're going to go over the cap to sign him. The biggest problem is that they just don't have a space for him. And like, I'm just going to take the Devin Carter conversation and just put it way to the side, because I don't think anyone knows whether he's a ball player or not at the NBA level at this point. And like, who knows, right? But this, that doesn't change the fact that you still have, you know, Dennis Schroeder, you still have Malik Monk, you still have Keon Ellis, you still have Zach LaVine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your backcourt is packed. Now, would you like to have another guard? Yeah, as like a third point guard? Sure, that's fine. But that's not what Russell Westbrook is, even at his advanced age in the NBA, by NBA standards.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the only way to actually move forward with this is if you actually pull off one of these deals that we keep hearing about. Like, whether it's Devin Carter as part of a package that goes to the Golden State Warriors that helps you land, you know, a guy like Jonathan Kuminga, or it's Malik Monk going to some other team in order to facilitate a trade as well. Like, there are ways in which the Kings can get this done, but they have to clear out at least one and probably two players from that backcourt before they go and push any button. Because like, Russell Westbrook and Malik Monk will not work in the backcourt off the bench. I can guarantee you that.
No, that doesn't, there's just, you start running out of minutes. We talk about this all the time, and I think it's something that matters a lot, is you just don't, between Zach LaVine and Nick Clifford, who you're trying to get in the rotation, and Dennis Schroeder, and then Malik Monk, and if it's Russell Westbrook, there's just, you start running out of minutes. Like, that's just the facts of it. Let me ask you this. If the Kings did just have the money, just outright, they had the space and could just sign Russell Westbrook outright, do you think they would do that and then try and figure out a trade down the line?
Maybe. Hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, we've talked about this a bunch of times. They still have like guys like Terrence Davis who are on non-guaranteed contracts. They could, like, in theory, just waive him and clear up a little bit of space.
Mm-hmm.
They could waive and stretch provision Dario Saric. But here's the problem again. Like, if you waive and stretch provision Dario Saric, you walk into the season with your power forwards as Keegan Murray and Isaac Jones. That's it? No one else? And it's not like Doug McDermott can slide over and play the position. It's not like you're going to count on big minutes from DeMar DeRozan to play that or Nick Clifford. Like, there's very few ways in order to get more, you know, to add depth to that position.
Right.
Like, if the Kings should add depth, that's where it should be. You should spend your money and your capital, you know, go out and get a guy like Chris Boucher if he's willing to take the minimum or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are ways in which you can help your team. And I'm not saying that Russell Westbrook wouldn't help the team. I mean, he played 75 games last year. He'll be 37 in November.
I don't get it. The Russell Westbrook thing, just to be totally frank, I get why you would want to sign a future Hall of Famer to your team, but from the Kings' perspective, I don't get why you would bend over backwards to get Russell Wilson, but Russell Westbrook as well.
Westbrook at Wilson would be an undersized point guard.
Yes, yeah. For sure. I don't know why you would. It feels like they're trying to get their talent floor to the point that they make the playoffs.
That's what
this feels like. This is not Dennis Schroeder's going to start, but then we're going to mix in Malik Monk and some Devin Carter and some Nick Clifford and kind of see what we have. It's like, no, we want to make sure we have two legit point guards because we're trying to make the playoffs this year.
Well, that and like, look, I think we're going to talk about grades here, right?
Yes.
Here for offseason grades so far. and
stealing this content from another, show,
from another podcast, clearly. but there is a way in which you actually could get a lower grade by adding Russell Westbrook right now. Because if you haven't cleared up the issue of your backcourt, then adding him doesn't help. And actually, it adds just a level of chaos that there's no reason to add. There is absolutely no reason to add a level of chaos unless you're able to clear up the roster situation, the roster imbalance. And so, like, I don't, like, if Russell Westbrook is the backup point guard, and I'll make the same argument, the same exact argument I made last week about Malik Monk and Dennis Schroeder. Hey, there's nothing that says that Russell Westbrook wouldn't be the starting point guard by midseason.
Sure.
Or that he wouldn't beat out Dennis Schroeder.
Sure.
I mean, he started a whole hell of a lot more games than Dennis Schroeder has in his career.
Yeah.
But, like, there's no reason to add that player if you can't even play the players that you have currently.
Right.
And so it just becomes like a really messy situation. Even if, heaven forbid, you do something crazy like trade Keon Ellis in a deal to go get a player like, you know, Jonathan Kuminga, I would not do that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't clear up the space that you need because you don't have the shooting guard to play there. And so it would, I mean, maybe Terrence Davis, you keep him on the roster. I don't know, but it still would be a very complicated situation. And so I hope they figure it out. I mean, that's the off season is still, you know, we still have 9 weeks left. You know, we still have a ton of time here between now and training camp. But they have a lot of work to do still, it feels like.
Yeah, and the way the Westbrook stuff keeps hanging around and the fact that we're now seeing reporting that the Kings are not going to do that unless they can facilitate a trade, it just, I don't know how far down that road, but it feels like things are heading down that road.
Yeah.
Like, where there's enough things happening behind the scenes. We talked about this the other day. Just because the Kings aren't doing anything publicly or making any moves or their roster is kind of as it currently stands is set, that doesn't mean they're on PTO, like feet up, hanging out until training camp. Like, there's still conversations going on, and it feels like to me, based on the reporting, that, and again, just the way these things kind of go, it feels like there's some amount of distance down that road.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, Scott Perry is super active. Uh-huh. Like, he is trying his best. He sees what everyone's saying out there.
Yeah, of course.
He sees it all, and he's trying his best to improve the roster, but he was left with, like, not just an unbalanced, broken roster, but a roster that is extremely top-heavy as far as financials. And it's just extremely difficult when you don't have, like, you know, we talk about, you know, trading for Kuminga, right? Like, they're offering up Dario Saric and Devin Carter as part of a trade, right? That's been the reported thing, but it's also something I've heard like a million times. That's kind of what they're offering. Like, once you get past that $5 million mark of Dario Saric, $5.5 million, and the same with Devin Carter, like, you don't really have other, like, you have a $10 million player in Keegan, maybe $11 million. But then you jump way up high. There isn't all of this, like, this happy space where you can, you know, take an $8 million player and add it. You know, when you traded Valanciunas, that eliminated your one, like, $10.5 million player that you could use as an asset.
Right.
So now they're in this weird space where they don't have a bunch of players. And they have things like a mid-level exception. But the mid-level, in order to use that, it even gets more complicated. That would have to go somewhere else. Like, you can't aggregate that with another player or another exception.
Well, it's part of the reason why the Jalen Green contract from the Rockets was what it was, in part because they went, hey, we might have to move one of these young players, and we would like to have a big contract on a young player to be able to move.
Yep.
And there's a theory that the same thing went for the Jabari Smith Jr. contract. Like, at some point, you just want that level of deal, right? It's like having a $1 bill, and then the Kings have, okay, we have two $1 bills and then a bunch of $100 bills.
Yes.
You're like, okay, but the thing is $5. Do you have a 10? I can break a 10.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's also the reason why the Warriors aren't, they're not like overly excited to get rid of Kuminga. And it's not because they want Kuminga the player.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they would like to have like an $18 to $20 million contract that they can trade at the deadline.
Right. Right.
And again, if you're taking back a $5 and a $6 million, that doesn't help you when you're big game hunting like they do.
Just real quick, off the beaten path here, Taron Jackson, the 49ers defensive lineman, if you missed it, he was taken off the practice field yesterday on a stretcher and moved to Stanford Hospital for evaluation for a neck injury. He was discharged from the hospital last night. He's back in the building today. He's not going to practice today. Team's going to continue to evaluate that neck issue. But he was communicating yesterday, had a movement of his extremities, and is now released from the hospital and is back in the team facility. So salute to Taron Jackson. Happy to hear that he's healthy, because that is terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrifying when it's in pads and you hear that a player got stretchered off. When you hear that a player just kind of went down in the middle of practice, and there was a play going on, he didn't just fall down with no pads on, that to me is even more scary. But he's good to go. So just wanted to get that bit of news out there, because that is a pretty significant deal for the 49ers. So we're now wearing pads today in training camp. But on the Kings Russell Westbrook stuff, to me, that's also, it goes back to the conversation we're having last week about where the Kings kind of see Malik Monk in this point guard situation. This, to me, the Russell Westbrook stuff, is just further evidence that the Kings don't view Malik Monk as that position.
Yeah.
Even if he can credibly play minutes there, which he can, not even if, he can, we've seen him do it. But to me, this is a sign that the front office is like, that's not a viable option for us.
I think it's kind of the reverse of what a lot of the other teams are doing, where they're trying to find like that $18 to $20 million thing that they can use to go trade for things.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a 3-year contract of that, it makes it a little more difficult. And so like if you're the Kings and you're looking at your books, you know that DeMar DeRozan will likely fall off next year with like a $10 million buyout.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the year after that, you have $49 million of Zach LaVine that will fall off the books.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can accelerate that process at all, then, you know, you probably are going to, right? So we keep hearing summer of 2027 might be like a more realistic target for the Kings. Well, the summer of 2027, Malik Monk's going to make like $21 million, $22 million.
Mm-hmm.
So like you're trying to find the right pieces for your roster right now, but you're trying to use this trade chip that you have and move stuff around, because you also think you can go cheaper at the position.
Sure.
And maybe find somewhat close to the same productivity.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, again, at this point in their careers, Malik Monk is a better player than Russell Westbrook,
mm-hmm.
but a better player at $3.5 million versus 18 or 19, that's a big difference in money.
Yeah,
and if you already have a certain amount of money tied up at the point guard position, it would, you know, it might make sense for you to go out and move on from him and find something mm-hmm. cheaper.
That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil not with us today, where the insiders were sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We'll put a pin in the Kings offseason stuff. We've got a Kings offseason grade for you that does not paint a rosy picture of what the Kings have been doing this offseason. But pads are on at the 49ers and Raiders training camp. And I mentioned the Taron Jackson injury for the 49ers. That's not the only scary injury they're dealing with right now. There's another one that we got to talk about as well. We'll do that on the other side. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320, and it is Sacramento's sports leader.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends after a long seventh inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James is over there. I'm Kyle. We got stuff to give away.
Oh, we do?
Well, we got stuff to tell you how to win it. I can't personally give it away. But we can tell you how to win.
Yeah?
You! Not you, James. You listener or viewer. Hello. Hi on YouTube and Twitch. You could win two single-day passes to Aftershock at Discovery Park on October 2nd through the 5th, courtesy of Danny Wimmer Presents. All you got to do is enter online at the ESPN1320.com contest page. That is for two single-day passes to Aftershock.
Hmm.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Go win those.
Aftershock is cool.
I'm having a hard time finding my emotion for having to miss Aftershock this year. Because I was really, really excited for us to go as a family on Thursday.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be in Hawaii.
Yeah, you're ditching us.
Yeah. So
I think we should all just go to Hawaii with you.
Well, I mean, it might be a little awkward. We got one bed, so we're going to have to go, like head to foot.
Yeah.
I don't know how we'd make that work. No, but it's like, I'm not mad. Get to go be sitting by the beach drinking drinks, drinking beverages,
adult beverages.
I was really looking forward to going with you guys, but alas, maybe you'll see James and Joe out there if you win those Aftershock passes, two single day passes. Again, that's at Discovery Park, October 2nd through the 5th, courtesy of Danny Wimmer Presents. Just enter online at the ESPN1320.com contest page. There was some news out of 49ers practice yesterday that I feel like kind of got glossed over. And it makes a little bit of sense since they had a player taken off on a stretcher and taken by ambulance to the hospital. Again, that's Teron Jackson. He's now out of the hospital, back at the facility, not practicing yet, but the team's monitoring his injury situation. Juwan Jennings left practice early with a calf injury. This is the second time this offseason because he missed part of OTAs with a calf injury. So, that's either one, this is what I don't think is the case. I do not believe this is the case. I do not believe that Juwan Jennings is like, see, I came out and practiced. Now I'm going to have this calf thing until we get my contract figured out.
Mm.
I don't think that's what this is.
You kind of hope it is.
I mean, from
like, realistically,
yeah,
you do.
Okay. From the perspective of what a calf injury could be. And that's why this is so scary now, especially because you look across and there are different sports, but you had Dre Greenlaw deal with the Achilles injury. and then you watch Jason Tatum, and you watch Tyrese Halliburton, and you see this uptick across the NBA in Achilles injuries this year.
Dame Lillard, DeJounte Murray, like so many.
So many.
Yeah.
And with the Dre Greenlaw thing that has already, the Niners have already dealt with, you had Christian McCaffrey dealing with Achilles tendonitis last year, and then you see Juwan Jennings, who's supposed to be their top wide receiver, all of a sudden now going down with a calf injury for the second time in an offseason?
Yeesh.
That really, and again, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. B, I have not, there's no word on the extent of the calf injury. C, there are so many things a calf injury could be.
Yep.
But how many times have we heard a calf injury? McCaffrey's thing was a calf. Kevin Durant's was a calf before he got hurt.
Halliburton,
Tyrese Halliburton's was a calf.
Yeah.
So that's why now for me, this has entered that realm of injury for me, where when I see calf, the red flags immediately go up.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not anything serious. Maybe it was a cramp and he's got some cramping and he needs to eat more bananas or whatever. But I'm sure there's other ways to get potassium, but I'm going off Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
That's
that's where I learned all my potassium bits. But this is where I see calf injury, and the fact that that wasn't a bigger deal yesterday, that, hey, you've already got Ricky Pearsall dealing with a hamstring issue, and Brandon Ayuk is out while he rehabs his knee.
3 to 4 weeks minimum.
I mean,
and where are we at? Yeah, man, again, it's about rebuilding the calf muscle once you get it to a point where it's okay. Like, once it calms down and everything's, you know, like the healing process has started, then it's about working out and getting that calf, like, back to full strength before stepping on the field.
Right. And it wouldn't shock me at all, even one bit, if we didn't see Juwan Jennings until the regular season.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know the extent of the injury. Maybe it's a cramp, and they're like, yeah, he's going to be back out there today or tomorrow, whenever. But it also wouldn't shock me if they went, hey, this is not a thing we're pressing. And this is why he's asking for an extension.
Well, that
because if you're missing Juwan Jennings, I don't know what you're going to do at receiver.
Yeah, you're toast. I think the other thing this does is it opens the door for a bunch of guys to get reps that weren't going to get reps.
Sure.
Or that weren't going to get as many reps. Now it's like, hey, look, this receiving core is weak.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to step up right now and show that you're part of the NFL plan.
Yep.
You're part of the every given Sunday plan. And if you can't, then this team needs to go out and they need to sign a veteran, whether it's, again, Keenan Allen or who do we talk about? Who's the other big receiver? Amari Cooper, yeah. I think there are some other guys that are available that can actually help a team, but like it might be time to start, you know, sort of searching.
So there's no, I have not seen any word yet from practice about Juwan Jennings and whether he's there. If somebody has seen that, please let us know. I'm going through my list right now, and I don't see any notes of that sort. But I do think, if you're looking for some optimism here, the fact that the 49ers released a wide receiver to sign Eli Apple, the cornerback, I think means that they don't think it's anything super serious.
Okay.
But I just, it's back injuries are that way. When I hear a player has a back issue, it's like, uh-oh. Because you just don't know. Like, there's so many things that could be. That could be they strained a little muscle, or they have a back problem that's going to be a real issue. So, calf is now in that realm for me.
Yeah, it's like this scary injury of over the last maybe 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
It's the one that's like, oh no.
Mm.
As soon as you hear a calf muscle injury, you're like, nope, set him.
Yeah,
set him
you're down. Right. When you're playing through a calf, you're just waiting.
Yep.
It's just a ticking time bomb.
Yeah, it's just rolling the dice every time you step on the court or on the field.
I will say, speaking of training camp, though, pads are on for the 49ers and the Raiders today. There's a 4-practice acclimation period.
Mm-hmm.
Practice for 3 days, day off, one more practice without pads. And then the pads come on. Now, for me, this is where reacting starts.
Okay.
I don't. And Kyle Shanahan said it yesterday. You can't really evaluate any quarterback you can evaluate without pads on. But for the most part, every other position, offensive line, you don't know until you're hitting. Defensive line, you don't know until you're hitting. Linebackers, you don't know until you have to shed a block or get around a block and then make a hit. There are so many, same thing at safety, same thing at corner, on the defensive line, how well are you setting the edge? At tight end, same deal. Like they're running back, certainly. How do you play through contact? So now if you've been watching training camp videos, which salute you football sicko. Been watching training camp videos, it's all like, okay, take grain of salt. But this is where things will matter. This is what separates when pads come on. This is what separates, oh, this is a good athlete running around with other good athletes versus, okay, this is a good athlete who can, if you're a receiver, Isaiah Nayer has been the big name during camp. He's this undrafted rookie, 6'4", 218, runs a 4.4. You go look at all of his workout metrics. They're just through the roof, but he's undrafted guy. Had a weird college career. But made this amazing catch the other day, and it was the talk of camp. But okay, how does he play through press coverage? How does he handle himself when he has to go over the middle and he can get popped by a safety or a linebacker? Like those are the things that coaches are going to have to start evaluating. How well do running backs block is going to matter. Those are all the things that you can start actually taking away now that there's pads on. But I mean, I always try and make basketball analogies. Training camp without pads is like going through a basketball practice without shoes, maybe.
Yeah.
Without a ball?
Yeah.
Like,
it
yeah,
might
you're
be...
like passing on air.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, because
it's not really an apples to apples comparison.
You play spring ball, like, in like as a high school player,
mm-hmm.
and you like the last 2 weeks of school. Typically, you mm-hmm. play spring ball and you wear just shoulder pads and helmet. Right, you can't mm-hmm. wear anything
Shell.
Else.
Yeah,
yeah. So I don't know. Like, it's so difficult, like, to gauge players until they put pads on, especially yeah. at the NFL level. Like, the yeah. hesitation, you can see the hesitation in players.
There are so many dudes. I talked about this with Casey the other day on D'Lo and Casey. There are so many players. I talked about Kalfani Muhammad, Cal legend, when I was covering the Titans. Tore it up in OTAs, tore it up the first couple days of camp. Pads came on, never heard of the guy again. Fell off the map.
Yeah.
And that happens all the time because it's just the sport's so much different. But now if you're looking for reactions, you're going to get them now. Because now you see how guys respond. You'll see coaches behave differently with how they're divvying up reps. Shout out to the pads coming on at training camp. Now football's for real. It's not back yet.
I'm here for it, though.
Yeah, same.
That's when it gets exciting.
It's actually, but right, yeah, you get to actually, because so much of everything I've been quote-unquote taking away from the first days of camp is just, okay, D. Winters is getting all the first-team reps at linebacker. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting for me. Oh, Michael Williams, the rookie, getting the first-team reps at defensive end. Okay. Like, they really think this guy can go. But outside of that, it's like, Russell Gage has been really impressive. I don't care. I don't give a damn that Russell Gage was impressive without pads on. I know he can play. He's a veteran. I don't know if he's any good.
All right.
Anyways. We might have seen over the weekend the single greatest single game performance, certainly in baseball history, and maybe one of the best single game performances in sports history.
Wild.
And it happened on your West Sacramento A's. We'll talk about that next. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're the insiders. Jesse Tapia is going to join us. Yeah, Jesse's. Oh, yeah, there he is. Hey, salute. Hey, Jesse's going to be here in the second hour. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and I'm going to hit this button before I have to say any more words.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat, a place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall is back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.